General Secretary of the Fretland Party of Timor-Leste, Mario Alcatiri, speaking at the ANU on October the 27th. We hear the introduction and then an exclusive interview after 4 minutes with Community Radio 2 NIM FM.
General of Fretland. He's possibly best known for his pivotal role in the negotiations between Timor-Leste and Australia in relation to the oil and gas reserves of the Timor Sea, achieving a considerably better outcome than many people thought was possible at that time. During the Indonesian occupation, Dr. Alcatiri was a chartered surveyor and lived in exile in Angola and Mozambique, and he also studied law at Eduardo Mondlane University in Maputo. Between 1995 and 1998, Dr. Alcatiri was a consultant on public international law and constitutional law to the Assembly of the Republic of Mozambique. Today, Dr. Alcatiri will speak on the subject of Timor-Leste, a bridge for constructive partnerships between Asia and the Pacific. So on behalf of the Regulatory Institutions Network and the Timor-Leste Studies Association, I'd like to call Dr. Alcatiri up to speak. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I would like to thank the National University of Australia and this particular faculty for inviting me to address a very short statement here. I didn't bring with me any written paper because this is much more brainstorming. Since I was thinking about Timor-Leste as a bridge for partnerships, my colleagues, particularly Zé Teixeira, advised me to start talking about what I'm starting to write. That's why I decided not to bring here a written paper because I didn't finalize yet my things. But Timor-Leste, known before as East Timor, is always was and is still will be forever a country in between two giants, Indonesia and Australia, in between two sub-regions, Southeast Asia and Pacific, in between continents, in between cultures, in between even historically mixed populations. As everybody knows, Timor-Leste, the population of Timor-Leste, their origin is Malay Melanesian, but with some European mixture, and historically became really different because of the different colonizers that really passed through the region. Until 1975, Timor-Leste was really a Portuguese colony, and then suddenly became a territory occupied by Indonesia for 24 years. During almost 450 years, living together, cohabiting with Portuguese, with Portugal and Portuguese, and during 24 years with Indonesia. It's really made the population as really a population in between, always. The different culture. That's the reason why we are applying to be a member of ASEAN, but we do believe that we need to strengthen our relations with the Pacific. We are members of ARF, but we are also applying, we are also members of CPLP, Portuguese-speaking countries community. And we are potential, we will be potentially even members of Commonwealth. That's why I think that thinking about to be a bridge for constructive partnerships is a forward looking for the future of Timor-Leste.
Mario Alcatiri, welcome to Australia. We're just actually talking about building bridges between various cultures, various nations, Asia, Pacific, Australia, Indonesia, and the unique position of Timor-Leste to see this as a long-term objective. But do the people of Timor-Leste feel that justice has been done?
Surely that we have two levels of justice. One is a collective justice. All of us, we are together for struggling for independence, and we got our independence. It means that collectively, justice has been done. And individually, it's always the same everywhere. People are still looking to be compensated or to look into some missing people, their families, respective families, would like to know where are they, the missing people. It means that there is still a long way to go until every citizen in Timor-Leste can really feel that he is happy with the whole situation. But the main thing is the collective justice to be done. And on the other hand, both countries, Indonesia and Timor-Leste, are in a very important, very crucial transition period for democratization and the building of a democratic state and the rule of truth and the system that can really prevail the rule of law. I think that all this process of building the democratic state is very important now as a way to bring justice to. If you are looking for individual justice, you need to have a democracy to be consolidated. Without the consolidation of democracy, talking about justice is nonsense.
The coalition that is governing East Timor at the moment, Timor-Leste, often portrays the grassroots organisations of Fretland as somehow threatening some of the reactions to the proposed peace march, etc., have drawn a rather nervous response.
This government has been criticised by almost everybody, domestically and internationally, as a corrupt government. And even the newspaper that in the beginning was really favouring the government, they started already to publish some facts of corruption that's been happening in the government. And the government tried to shift its attention to different things. And this is the reason why they decided to attack the peace march and to attack again Fretilin. It's a way to shift the attention a little bit again. There's no other reason, because the decision to begin with the peace march was made in October 2007, not October 2008. Why now they are attacking the peace march? Because they are trying to shift the attention of the people. Instead of criticizing the government because of mismanagement of the money, corruptions and everything, shift the attention to this peace march that will bring again, could bring violence and to the street. Fretilin already showed during almost since 2006 that Fretilin was victim of the whole violence, violence that was praised by Shanana, was considered as a legitimate way to face a government through violence, burning down house, killing people. He considered it in 2006 as a legitimate way. And now, once he's in the government, even a peace march is considered as violent. This is nonsense, completely, because Shanana is really showing more and more as an authoritarian leader. And he would like to govern without opposition, particularly without a strong opposition like Fretilin is. He would like to govern, as he did during the resistance. He was the only one main decision maker in the whole process of the resistance since 1984. And he would like to govern at the same style of government. He will make a decision by himself
considering that he's the owner of the country. That's the reason why. He tried to shift the attention of the people from corruption to the march.
You're the General Secretary of the Fretland Party. How is the party organised? Is it, you obviously have a lot of support in the communities and organised on a grassroots level. Is that a sort of a democratic organisation?
Yeah, we are. Fretland is the only political party that is organised from the village level until the national level. We have really not only members but leaders from the village level to the national level. And now we are restructuring the party because we are trying to rejuvenize the structures. It means that to get in people, young people, from 20 years to 35 years old, to be the leaders in the village, the sub-district, district, and, of course, in the national level. We are now in the level of sub-district already, coming from village and sukus, and now in the sub-district level of reorganization. Then we will go to the district, and then to the national level. But even this, now, at the national level, we have exactly three different generations already in the national level. My generation, a few people, the generation of Luolung, that is the president of the party, and the generation of others that are with 30 years, 35 years old, that the vice president, secretary general, the two deputy secretary general of the party, and the head of our group in the parliament, people, young people, that were some of them born during the Indonesian time, others grew up in the Indonesian time. And those are already at the most high level leadership in the party.
And yourself, Mari, do you have plans to run again as a politician, or are you going to stay? Are you content to be like the older statesman and the secretary of the party?
It depends 100% on my own decision. I will say I will keep working for the party. I think that it's very important to get the party working, and you have a strong party, you will have a strong government. If you don't have a strong party in terms of institution, you can have really the government where you have no support. That's the reason why I think that it is time to have from people from the old generation, the first generation of leadership, that we are not many, not too many, to really pay attention much more to the party itself. Of course, as a politician, I will keep playing my role as politician, not to be a member of the government. But as you know, Fretli is a very disciplined party. The decision to be part or not of the government is made always by the Central Committee, not by individual.
Thank you very much, Marek, for talking to me.
Okay, thank you very much.